Good evening. Thank you for joining us for our Hilchos Refuah B'Shabbos series, the first of our Hilchos Refuah B'Shabbos series. Tonight's topic is going to be a very specific question regarding a Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana, somebody who would be critically ill, somebody who is a Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana, and of course you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for that person. The question that we're going to discuss this evening is, are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for such a person only for those things that would theoretically save the person's life, or even to make them more comfortable and to do other things for their care, but even if it will not save their life? So for example, I'll just put out a few situations. Let's say you have a chola who's critically ill and their back is uncomfortable. They want their bed, their hospital bed, to be adjusted a little bit. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to, you know, to drive them to the hospital, to get them their care, but this is just adjusting their bed. Are you allowed for this chola to adjust their bed on Shabbos, their electric bed? Question number two. They're chilly or they're too hot. So does the fact that they're a chola sheyesh bo sakana give you the permission to turn on the heat, which would be an issa d'oraisa, or turn on the air conditioner, which would probably be an issa d'rabbanan? Are you allowed to do that? Question number three. They really, really, really want a hot dog. They really want a hot dog. They have a craving for a hot dog. Now, you know and I know that they're not going to die from not getting a hot dog, even though they are in a critical situation. But their desire for a hot dog is not going to make their critical situation better or worse. So are you allowed to cook them a hot dog? Because, hey, they're a chola sheyesh bo sakana right now, so maybe you're allowed to do anything for them. So these are among the questions that we're going to be covering in the next 45 minutes or so. And what we'll actually start, usually we start with the sources, but tonight we're not going to start with the sources behind the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to actually begin with the Shulchan Aruch itself. So allow me to share my screen with you. Okay. I'm just going to adjust my screens. Okay, so the title here is Chil Shabbos to do non-life-saving therapy for a chola mesukah and somebody who is critically ill. So let's start with the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Shin Chav Ches, which is the siman about refuah, which I've been working on for the past week or two and speaking about Mincha Meiros. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Maka shel cholol, if a person has an interior wound or an interior trauma or an interior pain, ein atzurich ha'omed. You don't have to evaluate it, have it checked out by a doctor. You could assume that there is that you could be Mechal Shabbos. We assume that that is dangerous, and therefore you could be Mechal Shabbos. Shafil ein sham bekiyam, v'chol ein omer klum. Even though we don't have any doctors to tell us, oh, this might be problematic, and the chol is not saying, oh, you save me. The very fact that there is an interior wound or there is interior pain, that makes us be worried that this might be pikuach nefesh. Osim lo, look at the next four words. That's what we're going to be working on. Osim lo, kol sheregilin lasos lo bechol. You do whatever you are normally do on a Tuesday. If on a Tuesday you treat this sick person, however you treat the sick person, so if this sick person is sick on Shabbos and is this questionable chol sheyesh bo sakana on Shabbos, you do the same as you would on a weekday. That is the Shulchan Aruch's psak. Now, if we would take...
What's the nachash al-chol? You're talking about that he had a wound? Or that it's just something internal? Like, I could have a stomachache. It doesn't mean he's critically ill.
Yes. Yeah, so, if the Shulchan Aruch continues, I took it off because it's not important for our discussion. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you know that it's an interior... It could be a wound. It could be a pain. I'm not clear. It could be a trauma. It could be something that's just an intense pain, an interior pain, an intense interior pain. If it's clear that it's not pikuach nefesh, then you can't. But I took that part out of the Shulchan Aruch. Now we're in the mode that there's a possibility. You know, you have an intense pain in the lower right part of your abdomen. Now that could be appendicitis. It could not be. I have no clue, and I have no imaging or sonogram in my at my Shabbos table when I'm serving the Shabbos. It might be gas, but it might be appendicitis. I don't know. So in such a case, With that doubt, you are permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, not just Mechal Shabbos, but even Mechal Shabbos to do as though you would act on a regular Tuesday. That's what Shulchan Aruch is telling us. So what I want to start with, now we're going to start going backwards a little bit, and we're going to talk about a very specific case. We're going to talk about heat. Now, heat, you could imagine, heat could potentially maybe, you know, maybe heat is, you know, if it's too cold, a person could maybe get pneumonia. If it's too cold, I mean, the doctors on this call could say if that's just, you know, a Bubba Maiso or if that's actually true. From the smile on Dr. Pinder's face, it sounds like it's a Bubba Maiso. So I don't know what, you know, if heat is actually going to cause pneumonia or if heat could cause heat stroke, heat exhaustion, sunstroke, who knows what. So the Rambam, here in the next source, Perek Beis Hil Halachi Yadal Hilchos Shabbos, talks, is quoting a Gemara. The Gemara says that a woman who just gave birth, we call her a Chaya, woman who just gave birth, Osin Medur L'Chaya V'Afilu B'Mos HaChama. Even in the middle of July, a woman gives birth in the middle of July, in the middle of August, it's 85 degrees outside, you're permitted to light a fire for her. Osim medur l'chaya, fil b'mas l'chaya, p'nei sh'atzina kash l'chaya, har b'mukom osakar. Okay, so in certain areas, you know, maybe not in, Eretz Yisrael in August, but maybe in some places in August, it gets a little chilly for her, and she wants fire, you're allowed to light a fire for a woman who just gave birth. What do you see, by the way? You see that this is not actually saving her life. This is making her more comfortable, or maybe not. But look at the next line. That's what we're going to focus on.
It's Meyer Statman.
Hi, Doc.
Hello. Don't we do a lot of things today that make no sense today, but they're based on stuff that we believed in 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago?
I don't think we would when it comes to, with rare exception, I don't think we would. And that's the part of the Shulchan Aruch in the previous halacha that I didn't put on this sheet, that it says that you'll only be Mechal Shabbos if there is reason to save the life. If it's just, if like for example, if you have an interior wound, but we know that this interior wound will not be, I have an interior pain, but I know it's gas because I had too much chalent at Shabbos lunch. So then we won't be Mechal Shabbos. So we are very practical. I don't think that what you said will probably not be correct most of the time. We will generally follow the science when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh and breaking Shabbos. We will, 95 times out of 100 follow medical advice.
An example that's not relevant to our discussion now is that people believe that an infant born in the seventh month.
Correct, yes. What you're saying is something very true. The Chazon Ish already said that even though in the Gemara's time, we only assume that seven-month babies and nine-month babies are viable, but babies in the eighth month are not viable, that for either our science has changed or our babies have changed or our knowledge has changed, but something changed and the Chazon Ish says that doesn't apply any days and we will be Mechal Shabbos to save an eight-month baby, even though you're right, the Gemara does say otherwise. So we don't follow that Gemara for exactly this reason.
Uh-huh. And this concept is even carried over to Kashrus with a calf that's born at the equivalent of 8 months. There, I think there, I don't remember the specifics, but there's some questions of Kashrus.
That could be.
I don't know what the issue is, but that carries over into cattle birth.
That could be. But at least when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we're assuming anything that the doctors would say he's viable, we're going to consider as viable. Okay, so let's look at this Rambam. The last line, the second part of this Rambam tells us, even though for a woman who just gave birth, we will be Mechal Shabbos so that she could have heat, aval ein osin medura lechola lehischamimba. You're not permitted to light a fire for a sick person. So the Rambam, coming from the Gemara, is distinguishing between a chola and a chaya who just gave birth. Even though a chaya we will light a fire, a chola we will not light a fire. Now the million-dollar question that we have to figure out is when the Rambam that I have highlighted on your screen says that you're not going to light a fire for a chola, what kind of chola is he speaking of? Is he talking about a chola she'en bo sakana? You know, a guy has he has a migraine. He's not in danger of death. He has a migraine. So you're not going to turn on the heat for him. You're not going to be Mechal Shabbos midoraisa to light a fire for such a person. Or is he saying that even for a chol sheyesh bo sakana, somebody's critically ill, and still, since fire is not a treatment, it's not a therapy to heal the chola, we're not going to light a fire for him. We have to figure out when the Rambam says you don't light a fire for chola, it's talking about chola sheyesh bo sakana or ein bo sakana. Because if the Rambam is telling us that even by chola sheyesh bo sakana, you can't light a fire because it's not part of his treatment to heal him and to make him live, then the Rambam will be telling us something incredible. That if he's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, you're only allowed to do things that are life-saving. But if it's just to keep him warm, to keep him comfortable, then you wouldn't be allowed to do it. But it really depends what the Rambam is talking about. What kind of chola is he talking about? Let's look at the Ravid to see at least how the Ravid understood this Rambam. The Ravid, as he introduces most of his comments on the Rambam, says, starts with Aleph Aleph, Amar Avram. After quoting the Rambam, who says that you don't make a fire for a chola, on Shabbos, you don't light a fire, he says, wait a second, Mr. Rambam. Don't I have a Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Daled? Tanya Behedya, it's explicitly taught in a Braisa, Mechamin Chamin L'chola B'Shabbos. You're allowed to boil up water for a sick person. Bein L'Hashkosa, whether to give him to drink. Bein L'Havrosa, whether to... whatever else L'Havrosa means. I think L'Havrosa means... one second, I have the Rashi there. I forgot what L'Havrosa means. To make him feel good or something like that. So the Ravid is asking, why are you not allowed to warm up, turn on a fire for the chola? After all, the Gemara in Yuma says explicitly that you are allowed to light a fire to warm up hot water for a chola. Sounds like you could do these extra things for a chola. And the Rambam say that you're not allowed to do things for a chola. So look what the Ravid answers. For Efsher, it could be that the Gemara in Yuma that says that you're allowed to light the fire is b'chola sheyesh bo sakonahi. That's where you're allowed to light the fire. But the Rambam, when he says you're not allowed to write the Madura, is talking about a chola she ein bo sakana. So let's think for a minute. If we're saying that the Rambam says you're not allowed to light a fire, that's talking about a chola she ein bo sakana. But if it was a chola sheyesh bo sakana, critically ill chola, you would be able to do tangential, non-life-saving, ancillary, comforting type of malachas. That's going to be a big, big kula. So this Ravid, again, he's not saying his own vart. The Ravid is just understanding the Rambam. The Ravid is saying that the Rambam can't say it's usher to light a fire because I have a Gemara in Yuma that says you are allowed to light fires for comfort of a chola. So it must be the Rambam is talking about a chol she'en bo sakana. That's why you're not allowed to light a fire because it's not, you know, it's chol she'en bo sakana. But if it would really be a chol she'yesh bo sakana, critically ill chola, you could even do malacha for comfort. To make him feel good, to let him have something hot to drink, to let him not be cold. Even though these are ancillary, secondary, comforting types of things, not actual life-saving therapies, you're allowed to do it for a chol she'yesh bo sakana. That's what comes out from this Ravid. And that's what the one who makes this opinion famous is the Magen Mishnah, who we have in the next halacha. He quotes the Magen Mishnah. He quotes the Ravid that we just learned, that we said, and he says as follows, Midvar of Nira, from this Ravid it appears evident, Shesover, that the Ravid assumes, Shedivri Rabbeinu, that the Rambam, when the Rambam says that you're not allowed to light a fire for warmth, that's only B'chol She'en Bo Sakana. Fine. And he says, I think otherwise. Aniha, you see, Sava the Faresh, I would have thought that maybe the halacha is otherwise. But look what he says the Magen Mishnah, even though I would have learned this Rambam otherwise, Aval ani mevatel daiti mipnei daito, I am mevatel my das in understanding the Rambam in the place of the Ravid's understanding the Rambam. And therefore, imhu, Sheimhu sheyesh po sakana hamad lechol tzach mechalim va'afal pi sheim b'mnias davar she'osin lo sakana. Says the Magen Mishnah, I'm going to conclude that the Rambam's teaching us that even for things, and this is a key line, that you're allowed for chol sheyesh po sakana, once somebody is qualified as critically ill, you're allowed to do for them what on Shabbos? anything, afal pi she'ein b'minias davar she'osin lo sakana. Even if it's something that you withhold it, they're not going to lose that. They're not going to lose their. They're not going to be endangered. It's still going to be permitted because they're a chol she'esh bo sakana. So if we stop here, it comes out that the Magen Mishnah and the Ravid are understanding, at least in the Rambam, are understanding that you are, if somebody's in critically ill, you are permitted, lichatchila presumably, to adjust the heat for them, to cook for them, to change their, to press the buttons for their hospital bed, to turn on the air conditioner for them, to do whatever they need, even chil Shabbos d'oraisa, even though none of these things are actually going to save their lives. And I'll tell you what's probably the most important thing in this discussion. You could violate Chil Shabbos D'oraisa to go to the pharmacy and pick up pain meds, pain medications, which are not going to solve the problem at all. They're not going to cure the person at all. They're just going to help the person deal with the pain that they're enduring. You would be able to drive on Shabbos to a pharmacy, according to what we're learning, to get pain medication to help this Chol She'esh Bo Sakana endure the pain more comfortably. Because we sat down, and this Magen Mishnah told us, that if once somebody is qualified as a Chol She'esh Bo Sakana, as someone who's critically ill, then all of their needs, even non-life-saving needs, will become mutter to do on Shabbos, even to be Michal Shabbos Daraisa. And therefore you'd be allowed to, according to what we've learned until now, to drive on Shabbos, which is Chil Shabbos Daraisa, to get a pain medication, even though it's not going to cure the person whatsoever. It's not going to elongate their life on a moment. Just relieve them from some of their pain. That would be mutter to do on Shabbos.
Why would that be if it's not because
nothing? That's what we have to figure out. That's going to be part of our goal for tonight's shir. Why should that be mutter?
That reminds me of the famous story about Reb Chaim, that he's with his father by visiting somebody, and the guy asked him to move the candle, and he hesitated, and his father said that you're a murderer, because the whole of Yisrael Khan, he has to do whatever the guy needs.
Uh-huh. I never heard that story, but that's definitely going to fit with another story maybe I'll say later.
He's implying that there is a rest of his life. Like, I'm holding these things, these comfort things.
What do you say, Mr. Wilmaski? I didn't hear you.
In that story, he's implying that by withholding these things, it could involve the Kofnath.
Oh, so you're saying a Svara. So Ms. Mulaski is putting forth the first Svara. We're going to have at least three, if not four, Svaras. The first one Ms. Mulaski is putting forth. Why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? For things that are just for comfort? Because how do you want to say it? Because that which is for comfort, how do you want to say it?
It could involve the Kofnath. It's not a matter of certainty, but it's a possibility.
There's a possibility that the pain, or... So let me ask you a question, Mr. Lumaski. You have a chola she'esh bo sakana in a hospital bed. He wants to adjust his back. So he wants to press the button on the bed so that his back is a little straighter so he could sit up and so he could daven more comfortably. Or so he could eat lunch more comfortably. So you're going to say that that might be life-saving and therefore you're going to be allowed to adjust the bed?
Well, there I would say something a little bit different, but you're going to get to it, and I was at the shir, and I don't want to lead to it.
Okay, we'll say a few svaras. Fine. So, until at this point, everything is mutter, because we learned the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. Comes the Kesef Mishnah, who we know by another name. We know him by the name of the Shulchan Aruch, or the Beis Yosef, same person, so Yosef Karo. And here he quotes what we just learned from the Rav HaMagid. Kosav hey, that's HaRav HaMagid, the Magen Mishnah. Shayasav lefarish, he wanted to originally explain the Rambam in one way, but in the end he was mevatel as das for the Ravid, and he said that it must be that the Rambam only prohibits you from lighting a fire for a chol she'ein bo sakana, but if it was for a chol she'esh bo sakana, then you're allowed to do everything that you want, even if there's no life-saving involved. Even though you're not actually going to be curing the person, you're not actually going to be extending their life, you're just going to be taking care of them, it's mutter. That's the Magen Mishnah. And ask the Kesef Mishnah, wait a second, but I don't think that's so simple. V'ani omer, demidivrei Rashi mashma, we'll have to see where this Rashi is, Rashi's going to say that only if you're actually, you're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, at least Daraisa, for a Chol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, if you're actually going to be saving their life or prolonging their life. When are you allowed to drive? We'll see in a minute. He's going to argue. Rashi's going to say, when are you allowed to drive to the pharmacy to get a medication that will save the person's life? Not to get a pain med. When are you allowed to turn on a fire on Shabbos? If you're going to save the person's life because they're going to be die from frostbite or hypothermia. But if it's just to make them more comfortable, we'll see Rashi. Rashi says not like that. So let's see this Rashi that seems to be throwing a wrench in the whole sugya and seems to be assuming the opposite of everything we've said thus far. Where's this Rashi? This Rashi is in Shabbos Kuvchav Tesamar Aleph, and there the Gemara is talking about what you do for the a woman who just had a baby. And we know that after a woman has a baby, so she's very, she's most critically in danger immediately after having the baby, and then a few days later she's a little better, a few days later she's a little better, and a few days later she's back to herself. So Chazal, the Gemara and Shabbos Kuvchav Tes, divide this level of healing in three stages. The first 3 days, then there's the 7 days after birth, and then there's the 30 days. It sounds remarkably similar to Hilchos Avelos, but it's unrelated. You know, you have the Shlosh Yimei Bechi, Shuvis Yimei Shiva, and Shloshim, unrelated. This is a medical analysis or a how a woman feels after birth. The first 3 days, says the Gemara in Shabbos Kuvchav Tes, we will be Mechal Shabbos whether she thinks she needs to or not. We will be Mechal Shabbos on her behalf. Bein Amr Tzrichani, Bein Amr Lo Tzrichani, Mechal Ala Shabbos. We assume she's in life-threatening situation. And even if she says, "Nah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do this or that. You don't have to turn on the heat for me. You don't have to do this for me," we're gonna make sure she is taken care of, even if she doesn't need Chilul Shabbos. Remember, we're talking about B'michal Shabbos D'oraisa in this conversation. Continues the Gemara, says, "Wait, what about from the third day after birth until the seventh day? The first, day 4, 5, 6, 7. So then the Gemara says, it really depends on how she feels and what she claims. Omra Tzrichani, if she says, I need to do this or that, the Mechalin Alas Hashabbos. If she says she needs it, we'll provide it for her. If she says she doesn't need it, okay, you're saying you don't need hot water, you don't need this medication picked up from the pharmacy. Okay, so it won't be Mechal Shabbos for you. Depends on what she claims. However, from day 7, from day 8 until day 30, then Shloshim, the first 30 days, meaning after the first 7 days, even if she says, I really, really, really need it, we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos. She's already 8 days after, giving birth. We're not going to be Mechal Shabbos D'oraisa for her. She gave birth 7 the whole week ago. It's 8 days ago. Now she says, you have to light a fire for me, I'm cold. We're not going to do that in Chil Shabbos D'oraisa. But what will we do? Aval, in that last period from day 7 till 30, Aval Osna Yedei Armai, we'll do it with an Armenian, with a guy. When there is no sakana involved, which is what we're assuming, like a woman who gave birth a week ago, she's already out of sakana, then still you're allowed to ask a guy to do it. That's the Gemara. But look at what Rashi says, because Rashi makes a critical comment in explaining this very last line, when it says that on day 7 to 8, till 30, we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for Hermi D'oraisa, and therefore we'll ask a guy to do whatever we need. Because it's not a Dvar Sakana anymore. She's not in danger now that she's 8 days after birth. Look what Rashi says. Dvar She'en Bo Sakana, something when there's no Sakana, then we will not be Mechal Shabbos for her. Chola, says Rashi. Look at these words very carefully, because there's going to be only one or two words that are going to tell us Shitas Rashi. Chola, shem lo ya'asu lo refua zu, ein mesukan lamus. A chola, that if you don't do this therapy, this refua, they're not going to die, then you should relegate it to a guy. Meaning, if this therapy will save that person, the medication or this process, this procedure will save the person's life, then you could do it with a Jew. But if this therapy, refuah zu, is ein mesukan lamos, then, you know, just give it to the guy. What do you see from Rashi? You see from Rashi that if a therapy will, a procedure, a need, this specific need is going to make them live, then you could have the Jew do it on Shabbos. But if not, then please ask the Gentile to do it for us on Shabbos so we won't be mechal Shabbos directly. Rashi is saying inversely, right? He's saying the inverse. He's not saying you could only be mechal Shabbos for things, for a therapy, for a refuah that will save a life. He's saying if it won't save a life, then don't do it with a Jew, rather ask the guy to do it. But you see from Rashi that he is only permitting Chilul Shabbos, and who are we talking about? We're talking presumably about a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, and even though it's a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, we're only going to permit it if this specific refuah will save the person's life. That's what Rashi seems to be telling us.
It's perfectly clear, because what happens if you don't have an armoy? You live in Israel, everybody's Jewish. Is Rashi saying if you can, you should use a goy, but if you can't, maybe you should do it? So I'm not sure it's absolutely clear.
I think if you look at the Gemara, the line before where it says Shloshim, Filo Amra Tzrichani Ein Mechal Es HaShabbos, it sounds like we're not Mechal Shabbos for her at this point because she's no longer considered in critical condition. But if she would be, but if there was a certain procedure that would save a life, then we would be Mechal Shabbos. That's what
Rabbi, you said, that it's Mechal, that it's a Chonash Basakana, but the heading on Rashi says Davar She'en Bo Sakana.
Right, so the way Rashi's reading it is a Davar She'en Bo Sakana. Rashi is not translating the word Davar as a person. Rashi is explaining the Davar She'en Bo Sakana, meaning this therapy or this refuah that is not going to be life-saving. If you don't do this therapy, they're not going to die. Then do it with a guy. What is that? What is the inverse of that? What logically follows? But if the therapy is withheld and they will die, then do it with a Jew. Meaning, I'll say it again. If, look at the words of Rashi. Again, it's a diak. It's not so explicit. There might be another Rashi that's more explicit, but look at this Rashi. Chola. If you don't do this, it sounds like contra positive. If you don't do this refuah, he won't die. Then that's what the Gemara says you should do, have the guy do. Which sounds like, what's the contra positive of that? That if this is a refuah that will, or what's the inverse? Not sure if it's contra positive or inverse. If it's a therapy that will save the person's life, then indeed you could have the Jew do it. But it seems like the Jew can only do this if it's a therapy that will be life-saving. But if it won't be life-saving, you can't have a Jew do it. Only a guy could do it. Yes, doctor.
It seems like it doesn't leave room for, let's say, it would save the life, and there's a guy nearby that would do this.
Excellent question.
Let's use the guy anyway.
Excellent question. That's a great topic. I just don't want to talk about that now because that's a whole other part of the Shulchan Aruch. And what you're saying is the machlokas Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. You're right. What you're saying is that if there's a guy available, should you have the guy do it to save the life or to let the Jew do it? That the Shulchan Aruch say and the Sfaradim say the Jew should do it. And Ashkenazim say, if you're not going to lose a moment and it's just as good, then let the Gentile do it. So that's a mach. I don't want to get into that now, but that what you're saying is correct. Okay. I want to show you another possible Rashi, where Rashi also seems to say that when we're talking about, again, a critically ill person, you will only be Mechal Shabbos for a life-saving procedure. This is the Gemara Yuma. Gemara Yuma is very, very clear. Right, you should save lives on Shabbos, and if you do it with alacrity, you run to save the life. It's not like, I have to break my Shabbos, and I overheard somebody's giving a shiur on this topic, and he pointed out something fascinating. Like sometimes people I don't want to be Mechala Shabbos. Let the Hatzalah guys be Mechala Shabbos. I don't want to do it. Let the Hatzalah guys do it. You know, they could be Mechala Shabbos. There's no license for Hatzalah guys to be Mechala Shabbos more than you or me. If somebody's critically ill, then jump, run, do it. You don't leave it for, oh, let the Hatzalah guys, they have a license to like, they have a license to drive an ambulance and they have a license to, you know, drive on Shabbos. No, there's no special license for Chilas Shabbos to Hatzalah people. If there's an opportunity to be, to save a life, Hazar Hazar is a Meshuvach. Fine. What does Rashi say? Rashi is very clear. What is it that you're allowed to do on Shabbos? What is the desecration of Shabbos that you're allowed to get involved with? B'chol dorish etzorech lo lenefesh lehaavir sakonas maves. Rashi is black on white. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for what? For that therapy or that medication or that procedure that will remove the sakonas maves, will save their life. You see again from Rashi, same Rashi, different place, different Masechta. You see that Rashi is telling us that only if the procedure that you want to do on Shabbos is going to actually be life-saving, that's when you're allowed to do it. But cooking them some food, but adjusting their bed, but turning on the air conditioner, turning on the heat, you can't do that. That's not life-saving. You can't do that. Getting pain medication for them, that's not life-saving. That's Shitas Rashi. And we have Rashi yet in a third place. Okay, more complicated. We're not going to go into the next Rashi. Fine. So we have a machlokas, a raging machlokas, the Magen Mishnah, on one hand, that we learned first, who says that whenever this cholesh yesh basakana, you could do whatever you want, including all the non-life-saving activities like cooking and heat and pain and adjusting a bed. And Rashi, on the other hand, is very limiting. Rashi is telling us, no, you're only allowed to do those things on Shabbos that will actually save a life. You want to drive them to the ER so that they could, you know, save him from whatever, from his heart attack, go ahead, drive to the ER. But if you want to just take away some pain, you want to just, you know, make him more comfortable, you want to cook them some food that they want, you want to make them not hot, not cold, make them comfortable, that's not okay, according to Rashi. So we have a big machlokas, the Magen Mishnah being Mekel, that's how we'll remember, Mem for Magen Mishnah is Mekel, and Rashi is Machmir, that's all remember. Rashi is Machmir, that you're only allowed to do those things that are actually life-saving. The question is, and this is what the question that Mr. Wilmansky raised before, why in the world would the Magen Mishnah be Mekel? Again, I love the alliteration. Why is the Magen Mishnah Mekel? What do you mean? How could you violate Shabbos if it's not for life-saving? Why should you be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for pain? Why should you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for comfort, for food? Why should that be? What's the svara? What's the svara, Mr. Wilmansky was asking? What's the svara to allow, to assume that comfort, just because the person is a cholim esukah and he's in a dangerous situation, why does that therefore give us a license to just break Shabbos wantonly? This isn't going to save their lives. Just because they're in a matzav of pikuach nefesh, therefore you could do anything else. They want to buy a lottery ticket because the drawing is Friday night and they don't want to miss the lottery drawing. So because they happen to be a cholim esukah and you could buy a lottery ticket for them, I don't understand. What does that have to do with him being a cholim esukah? Why should you be able to mechal Shabbos for that? So we're going to give a few answers, a few explanations. One of them, which I think Mr. Wilmansky was mechavin to, is the Radvaz. The Radvaz, one of the earliest achronim, he lived, I believe, in the early 1600s, I believe. The Radvaz says the following. Sha'al she'ela. There's a real life question that came to the Radvaz's desk. Sha'alta. You asked me the following shaila. Imutu la'asos l'chola she'esh b'sakana. For a chola who's acutely ill, who's critically ill, are you allowed to do dvarim she'em v'hem tzorach kol kach, things that are not so necessary? Are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that? So comes the Radvaz and says, it can't be that you're allowed to do anything. It can't be allowed to just make them whatever they want. It can't be allowed to change the channel, right? They're watching, they're critically ill, and they're in their hospital bed, and they're watching a TV channel that they don't like. So we're not going to say, okay, you can change it for them. Vade de'en kan tzad, sakanas nefashos in those unnecessary things. Aval, but now look at this, because this is the key line. Aval b'dvarim sheyesh bem kitzas tzorach. Mr. Wilimowski, tell me if this is your svara. Aval b'dvarim sheyesh bem kitzas tzorach. Things that are somewhat necessary, I assume, for his physical well-being. I assume like food, pain. Efshir, it's possible. Shimlo tas elo hadvarim sheyesh bem kitzas tzorach. Yavo l'dvarim sheyesh bem tzorach harbei. I want to say that again, read that again, because I'm not sure what that means. Father, the ink can't sad sakar, aval bedvarim sheyesh behem ktsas tzorech, efshir shem lo tas elu hadvarim sheyesh behem ktsas tzorech, yavo ledvarim sheyesh behem tzorech harbe. I think what he means is that if somebody thinks that they're only allowed to, that they're only allowed to do life-saving things or big things, they might make a mistake. And they might. One second.
The next words that he uses, spek speko. So he's implying that there is a possibility it will affect. We don't know because in our minds maybe it doesn't affect, but it could lead to it and it could affect his life. And that's what he means by spek speko.
So I have two ways I could look at it. Mr. Wilimowski is suggesting that we don't really know what things will or will not lead to a worsening of the situation that could lead to death, or an improving of the situation that could lead to him, you know, recovering from this sakaras mavis. We don't really know. So Mr. Wilimowski is understanding that since we don't really know, this could be the kind of thing, you know, you're strengthening him. You're giving him good food. You're giving him the warmth that he needs. Now he'll get the strength and he'll be able to recover. If you withhold the food that he's asking for, if you withhold the pain medication, and because of that pain, he becomes weak and he starts to regress, and he could, God forbid, fail because of that, we don't really know where the cutoff is. And since we don't really know where the cutoff is, we have to err on the side of caution that anything that's somewhat significant, again, not to changing the channels, that doesn't match, that doesn't meet the threshold. But something that is kitzas tzorach, that could lead to things that are more tzorach. And therefore, we'll be allowed to be mechal Shabbos because things that have some benefit to the body, to the individual, that could ultimately lead to his getting better, or if you hold him back, he could get worse. I have another way to read this. I'm not sure which way to read it. Maybe it means... Again, I mentioned this in Mincha Ma'ariva yesterday. Maybe he means that people, if you have a person who's caring for this sick person, you have a nurse, and the nurse knows I'm only allowed to help for big things, but not for small things. So the nurse is going to make mistakes and not realize what's a big thing, what's a small thing. And she'll think this is a small thing, and she won't want to do it, but really that thing was a big thing. Let me explain the difference between these two presentations. The first presentation is that we're human. We don't understand the human body perfectly. We don't know what the human body, what will make the human body stronger or weaker. Therefore, anything, as long as there's some tzorech ktsas, as long as there's something that's meaningful, you should do, because that might indeed make the body better. The second idea is that we know what will be good, what won't be good. We know what will be therapeutic, what will get the person better, what won't get the person better. But if you leave it to somebody's decision-making process, you leave it to the nurse, you leave it to somebody to evaluate, is this good, is this not good? A person can make a mistake. A person can make a mistake and think something is not so serious, and therefore I'm not going to do it when really that thing is serious. So therefore we just say anything that has any benefit to a chol sheyesh b'sakana, just do it. Just do it. Help them with their pain, help them with their cold, help them with the high heat, help them with their food. Anything that can help them, just help them. Because otherwise, I don't want to leave it in your hands because you might make a mistake when it comes to something serious. And therefore I want you to just do everything for them. As long as there's some benefit. That is the presentation of the Radvaz, to explain the Magen Mishnah, why the Magen Mishnah allows you to be Mechal Shabbos Midoraisa, even for something that is not life-saving. Fine. Another mahalach, and this is also, I'm going to say it quickly because I did say it in shul this week as well. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says something. This is not a quote from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. This is a sefer that is citing Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's shtickel is a much longer shtickel, but we have it boiled down to very well written in this synopsis of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan says the following. We know when it comes to Bris Milah that there are tzitzin ma'akvin and tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. Meaning, you do a Bris Milah, there you have to cut off a piece of flesh, or cut off a piece of skin, flesh, whatever it is, and it's possible to cut off everything that you need to cut off and leave a little bit that's extraneous, that the halacha does not require. But l'chatchila, if you do a Bris Milah properly, you should cut off everything in that area. You should cut off the whole piece. But if you didn't, it would still be kosher if you cut off part of it. So the parts that need to be cut off are called the tzitzin, the sinews that are ma'akvin, that are required for the mitzvah. And then there's the part that would be part of, let's say, the hidr mitzvah. That's called the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin esamila. They don't hold back the mitzvah, but it's ideal if you do cut it off as well. The halacha is, and this is a halacha elsewhere in Hilchos Milah b'Shabbos, that if you are still involved, if you did the, let's say, you did a Bris Milah, you didn't do a great job. It's your first Bris Milah, you got 80% of the piece off, which halakhically fulfilled the Bris Milah. And you put down the knife, and you had the mohel came, and the mohel who's training you comes and checks, and he says, you know, you didn't do it mehudr. You didn't get the whole, every bit off. It wasn't a Bris Milah mehudr. Are you allowed to take the knife anew, having already fulfilled the mitzvah of Milah on Shabbos? Are you allowed to take the knife anew and accomplish the extra tzitzim she'enu ma'akvin esamila to do that hidr mitzvah? No. No, you're not. The halacha is, as long as you're in the midst of doing the bris milah, you haven't put down the knife, you're in the middle of doing the mitzvah, then you can continue doing the mitzvah, even in the most mehudr dika fashion, to get those extra pieces of skin as well. But once you finish doing your mitzvah, once you put down the knife and you finish, you're not allowed to go back just to try to get a hidr mitzvah as well. You can't be mechal Shabbos to get a hidr mitzvah in the Bris Milah. Based on that idea, says the Kovas, says Rav Chanan Wasserman the following. If you're involved in care, again, what was our question? The question is, if you have a critically ill person, why does the Magen Mishnah allow you even to do things that are not life-saving? Says Rav Chanan, if you're taking care of a critically ill person, you know what you're doing? You're doing a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah of saving a life. Now, once you do a mitzvah of saving a life, you know how you're allowed to do it? Fully. You're doing a mitzvah. Do it right. Do it l'chatchila. Take care of all their needs. So if the person is healed, then it's like the mitzvah's over, and you can't take care of the air conditioning and the heating and adjust their bed. But so long as they're not healed, as they're sick, and you're tending to them, you're in the middle of the mitzvah. You're in the middle of the mitzvah. It's like in the middle of the Bris Milah. If you're in the middle of the Bris Milah, you are allowed to do the extra stuff. You are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to cut the extra stuff to make it a Hidr Mitzvah. Well, so too, when you're taking care of a sick person, the Hidr Mitzvah of taking care of a sick person is not just to save their life. That's the mitzvah. The Hidr Mitzvah is to make them comfortable and to make sure they have everything that they need. And once you're actively involved in the mitzvah itself, and the mitzvah hasn't finished yet because they're still critically ill, you're allowed to do all the ancillary, corollary, tangential benefits and comforts for the sick person because as though you're in the middle of the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. That's a fabulous, very creative suggestion that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman puts forth, suggesting that there's a parallel between pikuach nefesh, the extra things for pikuach nefesh, and the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin esamila by Bris Milah. Beautiful, creative suggestion. That's the second suggestion why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even for the extras, even though it's not actually life-saving. And now, we're going to have yet a third. Wait a second. My screen. Sorry. Now we're going to have yet a third suggestion. This is the suggestion of the Avnei Nezer, why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even for the extras, even for adjusting the bed, even for, getting pain medications and adjusting the heat and cooking them the food that they want. And he says the following. And this is what I said in shul, I think, last night. The halacha is, regarding bris milah, a different, totally different point about bris milah, but look at this halacha regarding bris milah. The Gemara says, if there's a baby who has a little eye pain, I don't know how you measure eye pain of a baby, but if there's a baby, the kavle eina liyanuka, I feel ke'ev ma'at, ein malanaso. The baby has a little bit of eye pain, no bris milah. I don't understand. A little bit of eye pain is not critical, life-saving. It's not, you're going to be mivatel mitzvah daraisa of bris milah on the eighth day because they have a little bit of eye pain? Why? And not only that, but it's not just eye pain. Says Avni Nezi, quotes the poskim, mevur b'poskim, duha din l'kol ke'ev, o l'tzar k'tzas, af she'en b'ke'ev ha'hu inyan sakana. Any pain that a baby has, we will not give him a bris milah. Why not? It doesn't say life-saving, life-threatening. We're not talking about hemophilia. We're talking the baby has a headache, the baby has a stomach. I don't know how you know these things. Baby has a really bad diaper rash. So you're not going to give a bris milah. That's what the halach is. Why? Look why. Because, look how he says it. Chayshinu, we're worried about the following. Shema yitztarif ha-ke'ev ha-hu le-ke'ev ha-mila v'yistachin. He'll get, maybe, the diaper rash, the very painful diaper rash that he has, accompanied with the pain that's associated with bris milah, they'll converge and create a very large pain, and that large pain is going to be a sakana. So in other words, what's holding back the bris milah is not that the pain is a sakana, but it's that since you already have pain of the bris milah, and you now have another pain of the eye is hurting, there's a diaper rash, so these two things together are concerning, and therefore we don't want to get involved in that double pain, the bris milah plus diaper rash pain, the bris milah plus eye pain, and therefore we're not going to do bris milah. With that in mind, the Avnei Nezer says the following. He says we could apply the same svara to a chola. Let's say you have a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and the chola sheyesh bo sakana is cold, or hungry, or his back is bothering him. Now, normally, a little back, uncomfort is not something that we'd break Shabbos for. Normally, if you're hungry for something, we wouldn't break Shabbos for it. Normally, if you're a little too cold or a little too hot, we wouldn't break Shabbos for it. But when you have two things converging, you have a chol sheyesh bo sakana, he's already in sakana, and in addition to that, you have the fact that there's hunger, or there's pain, or there's uncomfort, or some kind of discomfort, the convergence of those two together will say, maybe this will be mesukin. Even though, heat, or cold, or hunger, or pain on its own is not a sakana, but suggest the Avnei Nezer, the Sacher Chava Rebbe, that if you have somebody who's already in a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, if he has pain, so you have a double whammy of the pain of the Sakana, of the Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, plus hunger, Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana plus cold, Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana plus a bad back. That, says Avnei Nezer, is something that could warrant Chil Shabbos. Because Chachamim were, if in our extreme care for chilul Shabbos, for the life, for the preciousness of, for the value of life, we're willing to, be concerned that even though these things on their own do not warrant chilul Shabbos, but they're in the presence of chol sheyesh bo sakana, maybe for chol sheyesh bo sakana, this does have a terrible impact. Now, I want to just point out, this svara probably has to involve some... It has to be that the need that we're being mechal Shabbos for has to have some kind of pain or sakana component. Because I'll tell you what I mean. You remember we said by bris milah, if the baby had an eye pain, so we're not going to do bris milah because the Avnei Nezer explained, because they'll converge. Can I ask you a question? If it's very cold out, will we do a bris milah? Of course. I never heard of, let's not do a bris milah because it's very cold. Or it's a very hot day. It's a very hot day. We're not going to do a bris milah. Of course we will. We'll do a bris milah.
We'll do it outside.
Even if the air conditioning is not working so well, even if it's 85 degrees and the base manager doesn't have the broken air conditioning, they'll do a bris milah in 85 degree weather. So clearly, we're not, you know, so it might be that that lumdus of the Avnei Nezer that's learning from Bris Mila and applying it to a sakana, to a chola mesukah, and that you could do his other knees as well, just like you could do the Bris Mila, it might only be if there's some pain or sakana involved. And therefore, oh, we're not going to do Bris Mila if there's pain or sakana, because the pain of sakana plus the pain of Bris Mila converge. So too, maybe only the only things that will allow for the chola mesukah is if there's some pain, some sakana. Then we're worried the pain of the sakana will converge, but not just, you know, if he's too cold or too hot, that might not be enough.
Can I just point out that the Jews did not do Bris Mila in the Midbar for 40 years?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was because of the pain.
It was weather related.
And the proof that it's weather related is because at some point in 40 years, at some point in the calendar year, there's a nice day, right? So I don't think it's...
what it was. That's what it says. I mean, they try to explain it.
Yeah. I hear. Okay, let's finish up because...
With Bris Mila, the reason is because the Ruach Tefonis was not present, and that would heal them, not that they had the pain of the Mila itself. The women are going to be healed by the Ruach Tefonis.
Right.
Weather-related.
Right, okay, whatever Ruach Tefonis is. I don't know if a northerly wind coming from, Maine down to, coming from, I don't know if that's Ruach Tefonis we're talking about. Okay. Now, let's, halach l'maisa, how do we paskin, Rabbosai? How do we paskin? The guy's in critical condition, and he asks you to adjust his bed. Could you adjust his bed? He says, I'm cold. Can you turn on the heat? Turning on the heat is nisa d'oraisa. How do we paskin? Let's look at, we saw what the Shulchan Aruch said. At the very beginning of today's shiur, we started with this. Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody is critically ill, osim lo, kol shergin lasos lo b'chol. Do anything the way you treat him on a weekday. Well, on a weekday, I adjust his bed. On a weekday, I adjust the air conditioner. Is this saying like the Magen Mishnah? Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah and see how the Mishnah Berurah understands this line of Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this line of the Shulchan Aruch that says that you treat it like a weekday is a quote from the Ramban. And says the Mishnah Berurah, let me add to you another two words that the Ramban said. This very Ramban, who we're quoting in the Shulchan Aruch, says two more words. The Ramban says two more words, that we treat it like any other day, mima'acholen urefuos, as far as food is concerned and as far as medications are concerned. That's already a little bit of a limitation, right? He's limiting it to, you know, things that very much relate to the body, you know, like food that you ingest and medicines that help you. It's true, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mashma, Afal Pish, Ein Bo Sakana B'Menias HaDavar Hahu. Nevertheless, Kevin Shachol, Yesh Bo Sakana, V'Yesh B'Davar Tzorach Ktsas, U'Regilin La'asos Lo B'Chol, Olsen Ken Gam B'Shabbos. The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch does seem to be like the lenient position, like the Magen Mishnah, as you see he has here in this little parentheses. The Mishnah Berurah is pointing out that the Shulchan Aruch seems to be lenient in this Shaila. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold that whatever you do, certainly when it comes to food and medication, even pain, I assume, anything you do on a weekday, you could do on Shabbos to Chol Sheish B'Sakana, and not just life-saving therapies, not just life-saving procedures, not just life-saving things, anything that you would normally do. But, and here's the big but. So I told you what the Shulchan Aruch holds, but... He brings the other side of the coin. I am a Be'er Halacha. Sorry, there's a long Be'er Halacha which we're not going to go into, but look how long it is. All the purple is the Be'er Halacha. So that's the Be'er Halacha which we're not going to go through because that's a shiur for itself. The Be'er Halacha says that there are many, 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 many Rishonim throughout Shas who seem to go like that opinion of Rashi. The Chomer opinion, the opinion that says that you're only allowed to do for Chol Sheish B'Sakana things that are inherently life-saving. Not just things that are ancillary, things that are tangential, only things that actually will save a life. Like Rashi says, many Rishonim say like that. And therefore, I'm a little nervous to be lenient like the Magen Mishnah, who says, he's a chol shiyesh basakana, he'd do anything. But keep in mind, we're not talking about things that are life-saving anymore. If we're talking about a life-saving, of course, safek pikuach nefesh u'mechal Shabbos. But if something is not life-saving, it's just comforting, and many Rishonim are saying, like Rashi, that you're not allowed to do these extra ancillary things, even for a chol shiyesh basakana, I'm a little nervous, says the Mishnah Berurah. Let's see this paragraph inside. I am a Beir Halacha, says Mishnah Berurah. Sheven mikam a poskim, and brought from many Rishonim, the Svirluhu, Shafil b'makam shetzor achilul, ein mechalan al yidei Yisrael, ele b'davar sheish lochesh bo, we're only going to permit a Jew to violate an Issa d'oraisa, shim lo yaseh ulo, if you don't do it, yachbar alav chol yov, yuchal istaken, you'll get worse and weaker, and possibly come to a sakana. But if there's something that is clear, aval kol shebar, that it's clear sheim, that by holding it back, by withholding it, this treatment or this whatever it is, food, comfort, sheim b'niyasosodorach shash sakana, afal pi, he does need it, he does want it, he does have to eat lunch, and even though it's normal to do regil lasoslo, ein osn b'sob shas el al yadeinu yehudi, and therefore because of all those other rishonim. I, says the Mishnah Berurah, conclude, b'vadei mehanachon, it is proper, lahachmir, b'isser shel Torah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to an isser d'oraisa, I think you should be machmir, not like the Shulchan Aruch. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says that you could do all the needs, once somebody is qualified as critically ill, you could take care of all their needs, I, Mr. Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, Yisrael Meir Kagan Kohen, hold, based again, not me, but based on many Rishonim who seem to take issue with this Magen Mishnah, I hold that if it's an Issur D'oraisa that has to be done, you should only do that which will be life-saving. But you should not do an Issur D'oraisa just for a corollary, just for a tejach. Hold on one second. And therefore, let's just give an example or two. Pain medication. When I had surgery on my arm, when I broke my arm, I got an electric pump to give me myself pain medication. And I think I was in the hospital on Shabbos. So pain is not going to make me live or not. It was broken right over here is where I broke, right underneath my watch. That's where I broke my arm.
Not sure about that at all.
Hold on. Let's say that pain is not going to kill me. And you're right, pain could possibly put me into shock, but let's just, for argument's sake, could I press that button, that electric pump, to give me a little bit more pain through my IV? So according to what we're learning here, the Mishnah Berurah is being machmir by an Issa D'oraisa. Pressing that electric pump is probably only an Issa D'rabbanan. So even the Mishnah Berurah would allow, you hear that? The Mishnah Berurah is saying, I think you should be machmir by Yisurim D'oraisa. Don't do an Issur D'oraisa if it's not life-saving. An Issur D'rabbanan, he'll grant you. You want to press the button on the bed, my friends, pressing the button on the bed to adjust the hospital bed, the electric button, that's probably an Issur D'rabbanan. And therefore, if the Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana wants to be more comfortable and you would adjust his bed on Tuesday, guess what? Since it's only an Issur D'rabbanan, you could adjust his bed on Shabbos also for Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana. It's not going to save his life. But it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, so we'll be willing to be Meka like the Magen Mishnah. However, to drive to the pharmacy to get the pain medications, it's not that I just have to press a button and meet D'Rabbanan. I have to drive and press my foot on the accelerator and violate an Issa D'Oraisa to get the pain medication. So although the Shulchan Aruch was lenient in that case, the Mishnah Berurah himself says, I don't think you should be Meka, because that's an Issa D'Oraisa. And you're doing an Issa D'Oraisa for saying that it's not life-saving, it's just comfort, obviously significant comfort, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah would be machmir in that case.
Use a guy.
If you could use a guy, of course, matov manon. If you could do a b'shinui, so knocks it down from a D'Oraisa to a D'Rabbanan, that also could make it only D'Rabbanan, and then the Mishnah Berurah would agree you could do it for even for things that are non-life-saving, that are only for comfort. I want to finish our bosa with a story. This is a story that I heard from Herschel Schechter, and it will put things, I think, in a very nice perspective. I should have called him to clarify the deals, but if I remember correctly, the story was like this. We know you've heard of Reb Chaim Brisk. Chaim Brisk had a son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the father of Rav Yeshe Ber Soloveitchik, Rav Shachter's Rebbe. Rav Chaim Brisk's son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, when he became a Rav, Rav Chaim, the great Rav Chaim, the great Rav Chaim Brisk, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, made him swear, b'tekiyas kaf, he made him do a gentleman's handshake, promising that in his new Rabbanus, he would not hold like this Mishnah Brura. Rather, he would hold like the Magen Mishnah and the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, not like this Mishnah Brura. Why? Because, said Rav Chaim Brisk, I heard from the Netziv, who had a Kabbalah from the Nachlas David, who was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, that the Minhag of Volozhin for the past 200 years was like the Magen Mishnah's leniency, not like this Mishnah Brura's Chumrah. And therefore the Minhag of Volozhin for the past hundreds of years, this is the Minhag, that if somebody was critically ill, you would do anything and everything that you needed to do for the person, like it's a Tuesday, even Yisurim D'Oraisa, and that is the Minhag from Volozhin, from all the way back from Reb Chaim Volozhin, the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva in the early 1800s, and that's the Mesor that we have from Reb Chaim Volozhin to the Nachlas David, his Tav Talmud, to the Netziv, to Reb Chaim Brisk, to Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Reb Shachter told it to me, and now I'm telling it to you. We just spanned 200 years of Mesorah to see that the Minhag, at least in Volozhin, was not like this Mishnah Brura's Chiddush, based on the Mishnah Brura's analysis of many Rishonim that he comes to. What? But we can't say that because
you have to be machmir in Simchas Yontif. That's why you're not allowed to fast. You're not allowed to eat kibbutz.
Yeah, that's
you are allowed to eat kibbutz.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah Brura does. The Mishnah Brura says your point by Hilchas Pesach. He makes that point. Anyway, Rabosai, so halacha l'maisa, you have a chumrah of, you have a raging machlokas Rishonim going back 1,000 years, and you have a machlokas between Rashi, fundamentally Rashi versus Magen Mishnah. Then you have a halacha l'maisa, Shulchan Aruch is meka like the Magen Mishnah, but the Mishnah Brura in a very long Be'er Halacha, beautiful piece. We didn't have time to go through this purple Be'er Halacha, where he argues that there are many, many, many Rishonim who sigh like Rashi and who say you cannot do malacha if it's not going to be somewhat life-saving or even possibly life-saving. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura comes out with a pshara that at least for d'oraisas you should be machmir to not violate an issur d'oraisa if it's not going to help the patient and in some way or possibly help the patient in some way. If it's an issur d'rabbanan, go ahead, do it. Even if it won't help the patient at all. Even if it won't, better for the patient, just that what you want to do and make him comfortable, that's fine. But at least for the Raisas, Mishnah Brura says avoid that. And we're concluding with this Mesorah that I have, this Mesorah Baal Peh that I'm sharing with you, back to Chaim Volozhin, that he said that even Yisurim D'Oraisa you can do for a Cholosha Yesh Bo Sakana, even if it's non-life-saving therapy.